I believe in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to transform the lives of ordinary people like myself into victorious warriors. I'm no longer a prisoner of my binge eating disorder, and this warrior's name is Betty. The last time I gave my testimony, I was in the process of healing from a lifetime of food addiction and binge eating disorder brought on by the trauma of childhood sexual and emotional abuse. A lot has changed since then. I am not perfect, but I am a different person now, and I'm thankful for that. I was born and raised in Seattle, Washington, the third and last child of godly Christian parents. My two brothers were 12 and 14 years older than me, and I remember being referred to as an afterthought. I attended church from the time I was 3 weeks old, and being the insecure little person that I was, as long as I had my blankie in tow, I was fine. Jesus has been part of my life as long as I can remember. I invited Jesus into my life when I was only about 4 years old. It's hard for me to imagine what life would be like without him. The church we attended was pretty fundamental. The people were kind and loving, but also legalistic. I remember never being certain if I was a real Christian. It wasn't until my adult life that I understood this verse in Philippians. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. No childhood is perfect, and neither was mine. My very first memory at about age 3 was of being sexually abused by a family member. The abuse continued off and on over the next 8 years until I was about 11, when my abuser moved to another state. I never was able to tell anyone what had been happening to me. That period of my life left a scar on my heart. I've been trying to fix that place of brokenness within me ever since. It was such a distraction to me that I had difficulties in school and often felt stupid. I had nightmares and was haunted by evil images on the walls in my bedroom. With both of my parents working, I was often home alone and filled up the empty spaces with imaginary playmates and even an imaginary brother. It was easier to live in a fantasy world than to deal with reality. I had wonderful parents. I know that now. I know they loved me, but Dad always seemed distant. My dad told me later in life that he was afraid to be too affectionate because he feared that God would take me away. You see, he lost his own father when he was only 6. My relationship to my mother was much more complex. I never felt that I could please her. When I became an adult, she told me that I wasn't affectionate as a child, so she gave up trying to hug or hold me. I would say that her parenting style could be defined as critical and conditional. She was, however, an excellent Southern cook, coming from the land where gravy is considered a beverage and macaroni is listed as a vegetable on menus. I always felt the love when I was eating, and so began the connection with love and comfort, equaling food. Eating to fill the emptiness became the way that I handled all the hard things in life. I had learned how to put a fatty layer of protection all around me. It did nothing to improve my relationship with my mother, who took me to the doctor for my first diet at age 10. So, all the comfort got cut out of my life, and I lost weight. This all happened in the third grade. My teacher noticed, and he complimented me on looking skinny. So, in my distorted view of life, being noticed as skinny also equaled acceptance. I was now totally focused on my body image. Skinny meant that I was pleasing others and making my life a whole lot happier. It was a terrible combination. The only way to feel okay was to maintain that distorted body image. That began a pattern of controlled near-starvation eating that led to anorexic behavior by the time I was in high school. It is impossible to maintain such control forever. Sometimes the emptiness and the need for comfort would overwhelm me. So I became a closet binge eater who would then exercise and purge to keep the pounds off. Eventually, I was diagnosed as bulimic. None of this was working too well for me. I couldn't balance control over my eating and trying to be perfect at other things in my life. I tried to be the very best at everything to gain approval. But no matter how much I dieted or how hard I tried to be perfect, I could not measure up to my own or others' expectations. So no matter how much attention I gained for my singing or my acting abilities in high school, it was never enough to make me think I was okay. It really didn't matter, though, because I threw myself into activities to mask my pain. I was a regular at Seattle Area Youth for Christ and worked hard to help my club grow. I used to call 60 kids on each Monday night to invite them to club on Tuesday mornings. The people pleaser in me worked overtime. I thought that these efforts would make my mom proud of me, but they didn't. My mom's reaction the night I received a special honor was that I cried too much during the ceremony. So all the people-pleasing left me just as empty. I couldn't wait to go away to college. It seemed like the perfect escape. Funny thing about that is that I couldn't escape myself and all my baggage. I tried, though, and found not much had changed since high school. I was still focusing on seeking the approval of others and not really asking God what He wanted me to do with my life. My second year of college, I met my husband. And as we dated for the next several months, I finally felt loved. Someone liked me just the way I was. The following year, the two of us were married, and it should have been a picture-perfect, happily ever after ending, right? Well, my little picture of perfection was pretty distorted. After marriage, it seemed only natural to plan to have a family. That desire became all-consuming, and even after doctor's visits and special procedures, we did not conceive. Now I was convinced that God was punishing me with barrenness for the shameful things that had happened in my childhood. Back to my old pattern, I went, I ate. I began to build a huge wall of disappointment towards God in my spiritual life, and even though I really loved Jesus, whom I had known for so long, I didn't think I was worthy to be a mother. In fact, the fact that my best friend got pregnant a month after starting to try didn't help much either. I ate and ate and ate until I weighed well over 200 pounds at 5'2". I was now considered morbidly obese. I felt like a complete failure. Always in a position of wanting to be in control, I convinced my husband that we should adopt a child. Thing is, it turned out to be as hard as trying to have our own child. We sat on a waiting list for years. They were getting ready to take us off that list and send us off without a child, but then we finally received word that a little boy was available for us to consider. Consider? We were overjoyed to finally have a child. We rode the wave of excitement as new parents those first few days. But there was something really wrong with me. I was having trouble bonding with him. And my insecurities left me overly sensitive to others' comments about my parenting skills. I transferred the feelings of my own inferiority to my perception of God being displeased with me. So I continued to soothe and comfort myself with huge quantities of food. Through all of this, God was faithful. He never gave up on me. and he gave me glimpses of a better way through the godly example of other women who eventually became my mentors. In fact, God was good enough to end our struggle with infertility, and over the next several years added three more little boys to our crew, four boys under the age of seven. If only I could say everything became hunky-dory, but the broken places in my life were not fixed, just held together with duct tape. My own insecurities caused me to fall back to the patterns that I had learned in childhood, and I became the same critical person that my mother had been. It all took its toll on my marriage, which in time led to my husband being miserable at home. He was the perfect target for finding happiness outside of our marriage. He'd had enough with me and left. I felt hurt and abandoned. The rejection was deep and painful. This time, the emotional chaos in my life left me, ironically, unable to eat. Not the most ideal way to lose weight. What a miserable person I was. Using the same duct tape, we patched up our marriage, and to hide the pain, I threw myself into volunteering at church and in the community, and that didn't work either. So I thought if I went back to work, it would help and I'd be fulfilled. I'd formerly been a dental assistant, so I tried that again. Things were okay for a while, but then something devastating happened. I discovered that while I was working, my two youngest boys were being molested by a family member. The magnitude of what had been happening under my own roof totally devastated me. My world was transported like a time machine back to my own painful childhood. And I felt the duct tape slipping as the walls of my life collapsed. My own little boys were going to bear the same wounds that I had. I couldn't protect them from the very thing I had been hiding all my life. Counseling was arranged for the boys, and eventually I found work as an instructional assistant in a behavioral classroom that would let me be home when the boys were home from school. Things were moving along pretty well for the boys, but the issues faced by the emotionally disturbed students in my classroom and those that my son had just experienced created a perfect storm for my own childhood to come to the surface and send waves of self-doubt crashing against my soul. It was my turn for counseling. It was suggested by my counselor that part of my healing process would be to confront my abuser. But when I finally shared my secret with my parents, instead of supporting me, they felt I shouldn't bring it up. The past was the past. I didn't know how to handle this rejection. Even though I was now a grown woman, when it came to the abuse, I was still that lonely and vulnerable little girl. Eventually, I ran out of counseling appointments covered by insurance, so I decided to suck it up and move on. At the same time, I decided to go back to school to become a special education teacher. It meant earning both my teaching credential and my special education endorsement. That's a big chunk to tackle. I carried 32 hours my last term and still graduated with highest honors. Such a perfectionist. Actually, I had no idea what my self-centeredness was doing to my marriage. 2 weeks after riding the mountaintop high of graduation, my husband said he wanted a divorce and moved out. It was all meaningless. Finally, I ran to the Lord and I cried out to him that I was powerless and had no idea how to love anyone, let alone my husband. At this time, I found rolling hills. And over the course of the next year, God began to replace duct tape with truth from his word and our pastors. God profoundly healed our marriage. We even had the opportunity to share our testimony in both services. And I wish I could say that that's the end of my story, but you see, nothing had changed regarding that wounded little girl. She was hiding in the shadows, begging to be heard and healed. So I still struggled with my eating. I really couldn't figure it out. Why was I able to lose weight time after time only to regain it again? All and then some. I felt defeated and helpless to change things in my life. Over and over, I would find a new special miracle diet, the right plan, the perfect pill. My last failed attempt was HCG. That's human growth hormone injections and a starvation diet. That was in 2011. And yes, all the weight came off once again. I was determined not to let the pounds creep back by falling into my own patterns of eating my way out of emotional pits that came my way. But you guessed it, within 6 months, I had gained nearly all of the weight back. I hit a real low in July of 2012. My eating was again out of control, and I felt hopeless. You see, for me, food had become a real idol. I thought about it the first thing every morning, and it was the last thought I had each night. The hours in between were spent planning and focusing on food. It was controlling me. During one of our services that month in July, Celebrate Recovery was being featured at church. I was there to see the suitcase testimonies. There was one person in particular that day that moved me to tears, and I knew at that moment that I needed to check out CR to get help. The very next Wednesday night, I attended my first CR meeting. That was the hardest night. I felt so defeated at the end of myself, but I was right where God wanted me to be. I cried a lot that first night and the next week too. I learned that first night, though, that I wasn't the only food addict and wasn't alone in my desperation. Each week, I walked in obedience, taking off my mask and being real with Jesus and others for the first time. Within 3 months, I began to attend my first step study. I thought to myself that I wasn't going to be like those other people and get stuck here. I was pretty full of myself. I expected that I would get fixed and return to regular ministry. But gradually, God opened my eyes as I walked through the 12-step program. I began to realize that God had another plan for my life. It was hard work, but Jesus and my step study sisters were with me all the way. I grew the most at the 4-step as I began to take a moral inventory of all those who had hurt me and those I had hurt. It became clear that my food issues were all tied up to that helpless little girl. I was finally able to talk to God about how I felt abandoned and as though no one was with me or cared in those dark times. As Jesus helped me work through those times in the light of his love, I began to realize that he never left me alone. He was there with me. Each and every time. His love was deeper than any abyss that I had fallen into, and that his love has the power to heal all my broken places. No more duct tape. Step 6 of the program is offering forgiveness to those who have hurt us and making amends for the harm we've done to others. I struggled with the thought of forgiving my abuser and my mother. They died a few months apart 9 years earlier. In some ways, it seemed easier for me to forgive my abuser than my own mother. Before she lost the ability to communicate and died from the complications of Alzheimer's, she told me one day that she hated me. One day during the recovery process, Jesus gave me a very personal insight that put into perspective how my mother really felt. She was an amazing seamstress. She tailor-made many of my outfits when I was in school, including a beautiful silk brocade dress and coat. I opened a spare room closet door, and there was that coat. I don't know why I was drawn to it that day, but I wrapped the coat around me, and as I felt the richness of the fabric caress my shoulders, I sensed the Lord whisper that this was how my mother had shown her love to me. What she hadn't been able to say with words, she had created with the skill of her hands. Today, I'm a new person. I'm certainly not perfect. I will always be someone who has issues with food, but they no longer define me. In Christ, I have a new identity. Now I am a grateful believer in Jesus and his power. I walk through one 12-step study and then another, and little by little, as I have committed myself to the discipline of self-examination, God has shown me many other character defects. It didn't happen all at once. It has been 3 years now, and this coin means more to me than any other award that I might receive on earth. How am I different now? Well, for one thing, I know I'm messed up. But now I know that Jesus demonstrates his power through my weaknesses, not my strengths. Nearly everything in me has changed. I am not independent, but totally dependent on him. He's taught me that I'm not supposed to consume horrendous amounts of food to feel filled and satisfied. He wants me to consume him. He's the only thing that truly satisfies me. I'm totally in love with Jesus. I'm also more at peace. Now I trust Jesus to help me. I don't have to defer to those old default settings in my mind that suggested that only food could make me feel better. I now enjoy the sweetness of my life instead of the sweetness of food. I no longer have to try to please others or gain their approval. I am free. God has taken my bitter experience and turned it into something sweet. Does that mean that everything is peachy keen? Oh, my, no. There are some very difficult situations in my life this year that I'm struggling with. The key for me is having a band of sisters and brothers who are standing with me. I've actually been able to thank God for those very situations that are so devastating to me this year. That's because I realize that the more difficult the situation, the more I need him and the closer I get to his heart. I don't really understand how it works, but I know that I need CR in my life. I used to isolate, but now I'm convinced that I need my CR sisters to keep me accountable. I try hard not to miss meetings. God designed us to need the community and fellowship of others to grow in him. He continues to love me and transform my thinking, which is the key to my recovery. I like the way Romans 12:1 is written in the Message Bible. Let me quote. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, end quote. I wish I had turned this area of my life over to Jesus long ago, but I know that he had a purpose in my past failures. I've learned that God is the ultimate recycler. He reuses our pain to help others around us. No tear is wasted. I'm happy to stand with others as a sponsor, a small group leader, so that others can find freedom for themselves as well. You see, I am one of those people. I need CR to keep sanity in my life and to remain self-controlled and sober in my eating. If you are new to CR, there are lots of us here who would be happy to walk with you on your journey. Don't be intimidated by the way ahead. If you've been coming to CR, but watching in apparent safety behind the bunker, I'd say enlist today. Join a step study. Work the principles. You'll never be sorry you found the weapons that you need to win this war. Don't give up. Keep coming back. God will help you to become a victorious warrior too. Thank you.